Hi, everybody. Welcome to GayXYZ.
Hi, everybody. Woohoo!
What's up?
So that was a song from Miley Cyrus's recently released album from Sunday, actually. She released it after the, the VMAs, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's called Miley Cyrus and Her Dead Pets. And that song was called One Son, obviously, about the environment and saving it, etc. I actually really like this album, and the reason why is because it's unvarnished, and it's sort of just her kind of talking about whatever the fuck she wants, and it's not all mass-produced, overproduced. It's just sort of a simplistic, straight from artist to listener type of album. I love it. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's actually my favorite song on the record so far. That's the one I'm really, really liking right now. I feel like that one has a super strong melody, but like you said, parts of it that are hard for me to listen to when I listen to the record, it is that the mastering on it is a little light.
Yes.
Like you said, it's not super overproduced.
Well, it was only made with $50,000.
Yeah, but, and, you know, she's been a huge advocate for loving, like, her home studio and those kind of things. But what I really love about the record is that she's kind of just saying, like, I know this isn't what the kind of music I'm known for. I know this isn't what the mass, the general public is going to want to do. So I'm going to make what I want to make. My record label is going to make me make what I want to make, and I'll just put it out for free, because I feel like if she did charge for it and it didn't do well, it'd be one of those things where people were like, oh, Miley's a flop, yada, yada, yada. But if you put it out, it's free, you do it because you love the art of it.
Yes.
So let's face it, she's got the money. She did Hannah Montana to, you know...
Well, she
401k for life.
She herself has said, she's like, I made my money. If this doesn't do well, no big deal. She's like, yeah. No big deal. She's just doing it because it's a vanity project, and she loves it, and she likes it, and I love that about it. So.
Yeah, Jason, did you like the song? You were saying you haven't heard the record.
I'm going to say no.
You know what kind of reminds me a little bit of sort of a psychedelic sort of pop rock type thing? And it kind of reminds me of Lady Gaga a little bit. Some of her music is similar to that, like in her last album.
Yeah, that's what I was actually saying. I was saying that it kind of sounds like art pop, or like the one she put out before that, Born This Way, but like on drugs.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like, ooh.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I didn't like it. I mean, but you also have to remember, I'm not a Miley fan, so...
I'm not really a Miley fan either. I mean, I'm not like a huge, like, I am about Madonna or someone else. I like her, but, you know, I don't like it because I like Miley Cyrus is what I'm trying to say, you know?
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I wasn't.
That's cool.
Honestly, it's not a Miley song, I think, enough for people to be like, you know, I'm not a Miley Cyrus fan because I don't like the type of music she represents. Now, if it was a traditional type of Miley Cyrus song, then I think that would be fair. But to me, it actually kind of sounds a little bit like it has, that song specifically kind of has an R&B melody to it.
Oh,
like
absolutely.
Like an Outkast kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know. I just thought, and also there's other songs in there, lots of ballads and lots of ballads that I really like.
Yeah, she said in the past she writes really strong ballads, but she struggles with like the radio friendly stuff,
right?
And I think you can hear that in the record. And it was also self produced. Her and the Flaming Lips lead singer, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but they produced it together with a few other producers. But that's a huge triumph within itself. So,
but I have to say one more thing about it, then we'll move on. I love it when this to me is the sign of a real artist. And the reason I say that is because there are very few artists. It's like the difference between, you know, and I'm going to use Madonna again, Madonna and Beyonce. Beyonce, beautiful woman. She dances, she sings, she can sing, but she doesn't write any of her music, very little of it anyway.
Right.
She's not really a true artist in my opinion. And she's a performer. She's a performer. Right. She's an amazing performer, but she's not an artist. And so, and this to me is the mark of a true artist, someone who breaks out away from what they normally do and also comments on society, what's happening around them, and does what they want without fear of what reprisal, and to make a message. And I love that. So that's why I love this album. So that's me. Anywho, that's our little spiel about Miley Cyrus's album. I did want to talk also about, I don't know whose notes are whose, so I'm just going to talk about whatever, but Kanye West running for president.
Well, like, overall, the VMAs, did you guys watch? Did you like it?
Yes, it was very lackluster to me.
What did you think about it?
I mean, it was, it just, it just seems like it was just thrown together. The entire award show was really seemed like it was thrown together. Honestly, it was like what a 3-hour show. They could have really summed this up into a 1-hour show.
Yeah,
I mean, it was only like it seemed like only like 6 people performed total. So it's like, I was just like, okay. But to me, it just seemed like they just really thrown this together like at the last minute. Like, oh, let's just do an award show on Sunday.
You know? Yeah, I mean, award shows are really all about publicity and to make money for the network. That's what you've really got to remember. So, of course, it's going to be long because all the advertisers are wanting to, like, shell out the big bucks to have their ads. And it's, I mean, think about the cost of production on something like that. It's not a total reach, you know what I mean?
Well, I have to say, I admit, I did not watch it. I had no interest in watching it, so I didn't watch it. I only watched the highlights.
I was talking to my friends because, like, 5 years ago, when it was, like, Katy Perry, Miley Cyrus, Lady Gaga, all of them were coming on the scene, we were, like, obsessed with the pop culture and the things that were going on. And, yes, that was a really good time and, like, new artists and pop culture. But I think as you get a little bit older, you kind of don't care about celebrity anymore.
It's true.
So those kind of things aren't entertaining. You know what I mean?
So now you're calling me old, bitch. Anyway.
Hey, no.
I'm just kidding.
I was saying with my friends, we're like, wow, we don't really get into it as much as we used to. We used to, like, everybody that performed, we'd be on Facebook, like, writing commentary. And
right.
And the next day at school, I mean, everyone's talking about it. And
exactly. That was the only reason I watched it. I just watched it so I could really just talk shit about it. I mean, honestly. I was just like, because I kind of lost interest in it a few years ago, but...
Well, you know, go ahead.
No, it just seems like when it comes to the VMAs over the past few years, I don't know what MTV is doing, but it just seems like they've eliminated a lot of categories. Like, if you remember, like, in the late 90s, early 2000s, they had every genre category for an award show. I mean, on the VMAs, rather. Like, they had their rock. They had their alternative. They had R&B and soul category.
What's it like now?
It's just like, it's just pop, hip-hop, rap.
Really?
Right. Yeah, really, yeah.
That's because those are the most popular. That's all they give a shit about.
Yeah, but they didn't have a rock category, no alternative category, well, no R&B and soul category. It was just hip-hop, pop, rap.
And the VMAs is not the Grammys. They're not about the artistry. They're about the publicity, like he was saying.
Right, and it's a fan-voted show. You have to remember that, exactly. Too. Exactly. So it's not really who deserves the award.
It's who was most popular.
Exactly, fan power to go online and vote. That's why your Taylor Swift, your One Direction, your Justin Bieber continuously win every single time.
Well, and that's, you know, you were saying about as we get older, we don't watch it. And I was saying that probably, I mean, recently, actually. And it's true because I don't even watch. I used to, when I was younger, I used to always watch the Oscars, the Grammys, the Emmys. I used to watch everything, the VMAs, whatever. I watched everything. And now I don't watch any of it. I just don't give a shit anymore. Right. Unless there's someone on there that I give a shit about. But generally, there isn't. So
you're like, Meryl Streep ain't paying these bills.
Right.
Okay. But what'd you guys think about the Kanye speech? I mean, I know that was like a big...
Well, I heard one thing about that. And you guys can tell me what's true and what's not if you know. But not like y'all were there. But I mean, maybe you know more about than I do. The fact that apparently Taylor Swift and he had a prearranged speech or something. And he totally went off book and totally went like rogue. And now she's, like, really pissed at him because, once again, he's, like, fucked up her, I don't know, whatever she was trying to, her moment or whatever. But, and also the fact that he's talking about he's going to run for president. Now, do you think that's real or do you think he's just saying that because he wants publicity or what?
No, it's totally a publicity. There's even a video out of somebody that was in the audience and they're filming it, like, Vining it or Snapchatting or whatever, and the guy next to him was like, you should run for president, Kanye, and he gestures at him and he was like, yeah, as you may have imagined, and then he says what he said.
So, which is in the
moment type of thing.
Okay.
To cause a stir, you know.
Thank fucking God.
I mean, do you really, really think that America's gonna have Kanye as a president?
We're this close to having fucking Trump as a nominee for the fucking Republican Party, which I'm not part of, but I mean, they are going to vote someone that remotely stupid in there, then I wouldn't put it past them voting Kanye West in. I mean, come on. America's fucking stupid. Sorry. It's the truth. So the answer to your question is no. I would not put it past America. We had lots of youth. The one time they vote is when Kanye West is running for president of the United States. And then we have fucking Kanye and his bitch of a wife as the first lady. Oh my God. Can you imagine?
I'm registered to vote. Not all young people don't vote.
Well, most of you don't, okay? And that's true. Just that's a fact, unfortunately. I wish y'all would because we need your votes, but you don't. Now, Jason, do you vote?
Got the choir back here.
Jason, do you vote?
Of course I do.
Good. So you both vote then, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Then you're off the hook. Awesome.
but the whole thing with the Kanye... Now, did I just not say last week...
You were right.
You sure did. We didn't replay that.
Did I not say he's not going to be completely satisfied when he gets on stage, and I'd be damned if that shit wasn't true.
I wish I had that clip. I'd play it right now.
I'm thinking to myself, like, he's on stage about to get an award from MTV, and I was like, how are you going to shade the fuck out of MTV while you're getting an MTV award? And I'm like, really? I'm like, how are you going to talk shit about MTV while they're presenting you? I was like, oh my God. I was like...
It is true.
There you go.
There is a saying that I always tell people, or when I'm talking about working in the industry, I always say, never burn a bridge until you've built a ship. When you've built a ship the size that Kanye has built, I don't really think he's concerned mm-hmm. with MTV's...
He isn't. No, he doesn't need them.
...perception of him. No.
Mm-mm.
No. MTV ain't playing music videos no more.
No.
What does he need them for?
And that's so annoying, by the way. I don't understand that. I mean,
if you want videos, request and then watch them. Are you going to watch them if they play music videos, or are you going to go to work?
Me?
Yeah.
TiVo, hello.
Oh, you would TiVo them?
Oh, my God. Exactly. That's what I did when I was a kid. I VHS taped them from the time I was in school, then I'd go back and rewind them and watch all for Madonna or whoever was on there I wanted to watch. Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I would do.
But prior to him, when he was in the audience, just having a good time, he seemed very he was smiling a lot, and he was in the audience and just dead. Like when The Weeknd performed "Can't Feel My Face," they panned out to him like I don't know how many times, and he was out there dancing and he was like reeling into it. I was like, okay, so Kanye's kind of, he's upbeat. It looks like he took a shit before he got there. And I said, he just seems very just light and very just, high-spirited until he got his ass on stage. So, yeah.
I honestly think he is that way in real life, and he kind of has this Kanye godlike persona.
Yes.
That's kind of like we were talking about last week, like a stage personality, like alter ego, and then like your real life persona. Because he said before in interviews, like he doesn't like it when people say, "Oh, you're not that bad in real life," or "I didn't expect you to be so nice," or those kind of things. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean.
Do you blame them? I mean, if I were to see him for the first time, I'd probably say the same thing too. Because I'm like, every time I happen to see you on camera or in front of a camera, most of the time you're doing something.
Well, that's perception is reality. So that is what people think he is, because that's what they see. So yeah, absolutely. By the way, quickly, Jason Dotley apparently is listening to the show right now. Jason, I want to say hi. Thanks for listening. And wanted to say that he does a show called Life on the Gay List, which is going to be in Panama City October 3rd at 8 p.m. and Cincinnati October 16th at 8 p.m. He was actually just in Dallas a few weeks ago. So hi, Jason.
Woohoo, Cincinnati. Okay. Hoorah.
Anyway, So speaking of Taylor Swift... I heard about this and the video. So what do you guys want to say about that?
Okay, so Taylor Swift comes out with premieres her brand new video at the VMAs, right? What's the song? I just left my mind. But
Bad Blood or no, not Bad Blood. what the fuck's it called?
It'll come back to me. Anyways, it's like a 1950s Hollywood romance.
Wildest Dreams, okay.
And set in Africa, like in the wilderness of Africa, and they're filming this movie, and then at the end of the video, it shows them in Hollywood at the red carpet of the movie. It's very like Liz and Dick.
Right.
Like Elizabeth Taylor.
Mm-hmm. And Richard.
So, yes. So they're having an affair on set, and it's this big whole thing. Well, everybody's issue with it is it's a beautiful video.
Absolutely it is.
Gorgeous. It's set in Africa, and we see a little bit of African culture, except there aren't any African people in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is supposed to be the 1950s. So,
right, but
I mean, she's in Africa, not America, so.
Right, I mean, I don't know what African culture was like in the 1950s, so I can't speak on it.
Well, it depends. I'm just saying that if it is the 1950s, it's pretty fucking racist then anyway, so she's staying in keeping with the times. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
She's a method actor.
Yes, I don't know if it's required that she had black people from Africa in her video. I'm sorry. I don't think that that's the case, but what do you think?
I don't think that that's the case either. I just think people feel like she should have respected that culture since that she was showing the culture. You know what I mean? It's kind of like going to McDonald's, but then not showing the hamburgers. I mean, I don't know.
Well, let's say she filmed in France and she didn't show any French people. Would French people be pissed off about that?
You tell me.
I'm not French. I don't know. I can speak French, but I can't.
I don't mind because I understand the direction of the video. It is a beautiful video, and all the Africa shots are like in the wilderness, in the jungle.
Yes. But don't you think that people, I mean, just make a mountain out of molehill about shit? I mean, I don't really think it's a big deal.
Well, I think so too, and especially with the whole, you know, whitewash thing that we have going on right now, just mm-hmm. as a social issue in general, we're kind of looking for any little reason to
and that is so true. It's like everything. Actually, there was just here in Texas, where I live, unfortunately. Oh, you live here too? What am I saying? You bitches live here too. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
So you probably have heard of it. I'm so used to talking to people from elsewhere, not next door. Anyway, the cop who shot the guy who raised his hands and everything. Did you see that or not? No. Okay. Well, there was a couple of cops, one Hispanic, I think they're both Hispanic or something, or black. I don't know. Anyway, and the guy who got shot was white. Anyway, he threw up his hands and then they shot him. And so that's been another big thing about race lately and everything as well. So, but yeah, I'm just saying there's like a climate right now where doesn't matter what happens, it's like people just want to make a big deal out of anything. And so she didn't have black people in her video, and because it was in Africa, she's required to, apparently, which is stupid, I think. I mean, because also look from anyway, it doesn't matter. Whatever. Let's move on.
From an accurate standpoint, I understand.
Yeah.
But on the bright side of the video, I do think it is appropriate.
Stunning.
It's a beautiful video, mm-hmm. but she says at the end of the video, there's a caption, and it says that all of the proceeds from the video are going to go towards the wildlife reserves to help endangered animals in those countries. So I think that's awesome.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much, Taylor Swift, for your humanitarianism. We love you.
She's like, I'm going to capitalize on this.
Exactly. And that's one more thing. That's another thing about it is that I honestly think that there are celebrities, and I think she's one of them, who actually does give a shit about causes. I think she really does have a bleeding heart, and she really is kind and all that stuff. But you also realize, as you just stated, that every time they do something, there's also another side of a benefit to it as well. They also get PR, publicity, and goodwill. So it's not like it's completely benevolent, but whatever.
Right, it's a win-win.
It is. Now, okay, so which one of you read about Janet Jackson?
Both of us.
I wanted to talk about this too. So tell me what you think.
Okay, so she launches her new tour the day before last, right? She does what, like 30-something songs? She looks gorgeous, except she's covered from head to toe and she doesn't give us any costumes. Do you care? Do you not care?
Don't you think it's a little suspect that she's married to a Muslim and now she's covered from head to toe for the entire fucking tour?
And weren't her dancers covered from head to toe too?
I don't know.
In the photos I saw, they were all wearing long sleeves and...
Unless she's trying to be kind of bring that kind of vibe into her show, but I would still think she would change. I mean, come on, it's Janet Jackson. She's a major superstar, and she does one outfit for the whole show. That's unheard of.
And she's known for being, she's putting on that show. You know what I mean? You go to Cher so you can see costumes. You go to see Madonna, you know you're going to get
a show.
Costumes.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it's just part of the gig.
And that's what it's so bizarre. That's why I really do think that it has to do with her Muslim husband.
I mean, if you look at the timeline, the last, what, year and a half, 2 years, mm-hmm. when she was overseas, she was super hush-hush. She wasn't really doing anything. So maybe they met in the middle and he was like, I'll let you go on tour, but...
But you need to cover that navel.
I'll let you do your pop star thing.
Jason, what do you think?
I saw the video, not the video, the photos online yesterday, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And, here's my thing is that, you know, yeah, Janet's known for her costume changes, but if she happens just to have one costume the entire show, would it change my perception of going to see her? No. But, I mean, it would just be like,
But it is...
It's something that would be kind of, like, nice to see, but...
But it is awkward and weird. Don't you think it's out of character?
No. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, It is different. I mean, but would I just be like, oh, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to buy a ticket and go see you because of that? No, I wouldn't do that. But, I mean, it's just a little different. Just I'll just kind of be like, well, no costume changes, I guess.
See, but I also think on the bright side of it is, in, like, let's say an average, a pop star changes, what, maybe 5 times in her show? That's a good, let's say,
I'd say twice that at least, but go on.
Yeah, I'm saying at least.
Okay.
That's a good, like, 5... if they're not quick, a good 5-10 minutes for like video footage or dancers on stage. That's now
interludes, yeah.
3 or 4 more songs that could be spliced and now performed.
Sure.
And she did perform 30 some odd songs. So, you know, again, at the root of it, it's about the artistry, it's about the performance, not necessarily the costume aspect.
It's like just, I don't even think it's about that for most people. I think when they say disappointed, I think it's more about the fact that we had expectations because of who she is and how she's done things in the past, and that did not happen.
Right. Not paying $120 to see this show, I want to see a show.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like me going out there and, I don't know, talking for 30 hours about shit, and people are like, what, you gonna do something? I mean, do something. I mean, it's like, I don't know. I'm just saying, just do something. It's like, I know she's singing and she's dancing, but I mean, you gotta ramp it up. It's a show, you know, put on a show.
Maybe they, after they hear a little bit of feedback, maybe they'll give us like a black latex bodysuit, and then she can give us like a cape and a belt.
A cape.
And then maybe it's like a magnet skirt that like has like a magnet.
Oh my god.
You know what I mean? Just something to add a little bit of interest. Yeah,
I think it would have been I think it would have been cool if she had, I mean, also a little hokey, but it would have been cool if she would have like taken all of her songs and worn outfits from her videos from those songs, like Rhythm Nation, the black with the button up and then like, you know, Control, she's got the ponytail. I don't know. I just like, she had done something, but she didn't have to just keep it all the same. You know what?
That's groundbreaking.
Yes, I know it is. I should be a tour producer. I know. Go
right.
On. Anyway.
So, are you still going to go to the show though? I mean, you said you were interested in going, right?
Me or Jason?
Yeah.
Oh, I do want to go to the show. Unfortunately, it's exactly the same here in Dallas as when my Madonna tickets are in Atlanta, so I can't.
Okay.
So that sucks. Anyway. So what about the on-air shooting thing, the gay guy and all that? Let's talk about that. I watched this report on 2020, and I watched the whole story about him and everything, and I found it to be kind of, I don't know, just it's very disturbing. First of all, I did not watch the video, as I said last week. I don't want to see the video. Yeah. But what do you guys think about this whole thing and the fact he's gay and how that plays into it and all that?
I think, I'm not going to say the media. I believe just people in general tried to make it as a race issue.
Yeah.
And I personally do not think it was a race issue. I just think it was just a mental issue. Because he had a checker pass with employers and, you know, that type of thing. So I don't know how people are trying to turn. I guess because he's a black man, he shot two, you know, white people. You know, shot and killed 2 white people. People try to make it a race thing, but I'm like, it's not a race thing. It's just like a mental illness.
But I do think that I mean, I know what you're saying, but I also think that it possibly is related to both. And the reason I say that is because a lot of the things he said in his 20-page manifesto, whatever the fuck it was, or his letter or whatever, were about being black and being mistreated and being oppressed and all that kind of stuff. And that stuff is all very true and real. And I know over time that can really get to people. Now, you're either going to be deal with it like most people do, or you're going to go nuts because you have mental illness. But I'm saying that I think that fed into all of his disenfranchisement from society and his always failing at things and the fact he was gay and hiding that for a long time and blah, blah, blah. So I think that does play into it, but I don't think it's the whole reason. I just think that that's, if you're mentally ill and you have those pressures as well, that doesn't help.
See, I'm not really sure what to believe with this story as far as how it got to that point, because one story is saying that supposedly, you know, these two, you know, the reporter and the cameraman supposedly had, you know, some type of issue with him and they went to HR and yada, yada, yada. But then I heard another story saying that they barely knew this guy. So with these two different stories, it kind of is like, okay, well then, you know, which story is true? So it just kind of leaves a question mark in my head. But overall, I mean, it's a sad, sad situation. But as far as the story that led up to that, as far as, you know, if he did know them, if he didn't know them, no one knows that, but them, unfortunately, and all three of them are dead.
Right.
It's just a really sad situation. It really is.
It is.
I feel bad for everyone all the way around. So
it is. Okay. So, Kristen, you have anything else to say about this?
No, I mean, I don't, to be honest with you, this hits super close to home just because similar things like this have happened in my family's past. So I don't really like to put a lot of energy into these kind of stories that happen in the media just because it just has a bad effect on me. I just don't mess with it. You know?
Okay, that's cool. What do you think about, there was an article I read actually about, it was actually, what's her face? What the fuck's her name? Ellen Page saying it's borderline offensive to be called brave for playing a gay character when you're heterosexual. And I wonder what you guys thought about how almost every gay character played in the movies and on TV is played by a heterosexual person. Almost, not all, but almost. So what do you think about that?
I understand. I think if you were to say it's brave for a heterosexual person to play a homosexual person, I feel as far as career-wise, because typically, whenever you play that type of character, it's so easy to get typecast as that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel as, like, from a industry perspective, if you're in that industry, saying someone's brave for taking that kind of role and like really rocking it, that is brave, because then you know you fear that you're going to get typecast as that. I also could see how that could be offensive, because we shouldn't live in a society where producers and studios just assume that just because somebody plays a gay character, that's all they can do.
But don't you think that we should have? I mean, that's what I'm saying though. It's like, for example, like if in the 50s and 60s and before that, especially like 30s and 40s and in movies in Hollywood, almost everyone that was a black character before the 50s were played by white people in blackface. Mm-hmm. Like, right. Or even in the 60s with Breakfast at Tiffany's, her neighbor who was Asian was played by Andy Rooney in makeup. So my point is that's offensive. But I'm saying people now who are heterosexual playing LGBT, why shouldn't those characters go to LGBT people, or should it not matter? Should it be like blind casting?
I don't think it should matter. I think it should be whoever looks the part, whoever fills the part. And to be honest, depending on the character, I think it could be I think it's a lot easier for a heterosexual person to play a gay character than it is a flamboyant gay man to play on American Horror Story. You know what I mean?
Well, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. But, unless like he's said, a really, really, really good actor.
Because, what's that? Milk? What was his name?
Sean Penn? Name. Sean Penn?
The movie Milk? Sean Penn, yes. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
He was amazing in that movie. You know, and that character had depth, that character had layers. So it's not always about a typical gay character. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, should there be affirmative action for gay actors so that gay people have more of a chance? Because we're not represented as much as we are in society, as much as we actually exist in society. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Right. I mean, do you think that would happen?
Well, that's not the question. I mean, the question isn't what will happen. Is it should it happen or not?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but again, I think the part should go to who's the most deserving, regardless of what their personal sexual preference is.
I agree.
I agree. Okay, cool. Great. Well, that's all I have for today, so.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
By the way, no, I actually, one of you had said you wanted to talk about how you got fired from your job.
I know that ain't me.
Jason.
Yes. Yes,
so tell us about this. Tell us about this.
It's. I'm going to try to summarize it.
Didn't you just get a new job?
I did. But I'm going to tell you what happened, though, because this was really like just a bullshit situation. I'm going to try to summarize it the best
way
possible.
But wait, before you start, just remind me, was it the hotel.com or is it somewhere else or job?
Yeah, it was hotel.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry, go on.
Well, no, let me take that back. Let me stop lying. I don't want to lie. It's technically another company, but I don't want to say their name because I just don't even give them that type of
I money. Totally forget I'm on air. I'm just like sitting here having a conversation with you. I'm sorry. Go on.
No, so I mean, it wasn't with them, but I don't want to say their name because I do not want to give them that type of promotion because they don't even deserve it.
Okay.
So, where do I start? Okay, so I started working for this company, and I was training. So during my training process, it was a director of operations position.
Mm-hmm.
So during this director of operations, it was a director of operations position for a chain of fast food restaurants. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Now, the thing was that, you know, when I got hired on as a director of operations, they said, well, you know, when you join our team, even though you're going to be primarily working in the office, if you're going to be director of operations for the stores in the Metroplex, you know, you have to learn how things operate in the store as far as, like, cooking and, you know, equipment, that type of thing, right? And
yeah.
I was like, oh, fine, no problem. I mean, I don't have a problem doing it. I have no problem doing that. So they was like, you know, because the last thing we want to have, you know, have is someone who's a director of operations and doesn't know how to do anything in a store.
Okay.
So I said, okay, that makes sense. So my... According to what they told me, I was supposed to do 2 weeks of training in a store just to learn the basics and equipment and, you know, health, you know, health.
How things work, basically.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much. And so, and then my last week was supposed to, and after that, I was supposed to be working in the corporate office.
Okay.
I said, fine, no problem. So the first 2 weeks, I was driving to work at this particular location. and they're opening another location in Wiley. For the people who don't live in the Metroplex, Wiley is like, it's here in the Metroplex, it's in the Dallas area, but it's kind of far out.
Yes, it is.
So I was training in one location that was closer to here in the Dallas area, and then they were opening a store that was in Wiley.
Yeah.
So I do my training here, and then I get a phone call from my boss who says, well, today's going to be your last day of training at this particular store. We're going to send you out to the Wiley store just so we can, you know, prep up and get the store ready for the grand opening, which was like yesterday.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, fine, no problem. What time do you want me to be there? She said, can you be there at 9 a.m.? I said, fine, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Get there at 9 a.m. Well, actually, I get there about 8:50. There was a corporate trainer there because, you know, they were training the new employees that they had just hired and that type of thing. Spoke to the guy, said, you know, hey, how's it going? He spoke back. And then all of a sudden after that, I didn't hear. He didn't say anything else to me for, like, the rest of the day, okay?
Literally?
I mean, he might have said maybe two sentences to me in the 7 hours I was there.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So I was just like, okay, well, this is kind of odd. So, and then he got on the phone because what happens was someone's supposed to come out that day and set up the computer system for the registers and that type of thing. So in order for him to do that, he had to contact corporate, and then corporate had to call whoever these people were that was coming and install them. And he was on the phone for about an hour total. So what I did was corporate was emailing me on my email and was like, we need you to complete these things by the 31st because we have to get you, you know, certified or whatever the fuck they do. And so I said, okay, fine, no problem. So I took my laptop to work, and I said, and he was on the phone and he was on hold, and I said, well, why are you doing that? I'm going to get on my laptop and I'm going to do some of these, you know, just do some emails and do some of these exercises because they want me, corporate is asking me to do this. He gives me a thumbs up, no problem.
Okay.
Like, okay, so everything's good. So then the my boss comes in. This is where it begins to go downhill. 2 o'clock, 2:06 p.m. to be exact. So my boss comes in and she comes in and she says, we have a little bit of a problem. I said, you know, what's up? What's wrong? She said, well, we need you to go back to the office. Just to let you guys know, the office, their corporate office is in Irving. Okay?
All the way across the Metroplex from Wiley, yes.
So she said, well, we have a problem. I said, okay, well, what's wrong? She said, well, we need you to go to the corporate office because they're having some issues there and we really need you there. Okay. I was like, now, when she told me that, I was like, wait a minute now. I was thinking to myself, I'm like, you just told me yesterday to come out here
for a while.
Now you want me to drive back across the other side of the Metroplex to go to the corporate office.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want me to come back out to Wiley the following morning, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, well, and I said, I financially cannot do that. I mean, technically I could, but I was just like, if you're going to do all this fucking driving in my car, you need to give me some gas money.
Yes.
That's how I was looking at it. Like, you need to give me some fucking gas money.
Okay.
So I told her, I said, well, you know, I'm sorry, but I financially cannot do that because driving from my house in Frisco to Wiley, and then Wiley to Irving to help them out, and then Irving back to Frisco, and then Frisco back to Wiley. No,
that's like 100 miles in a day.
It was I added up. It was 136 miles.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I cannot do it. And then she says, and then she actually smiles in my face and says, oh, okay, well, you know, we'll figure it out. She left for 2 hours, okay? I think they said that she was going to, you know, the Restaurant Depot place to go pick up some equipment or something like that. And she comes back. Before she comes back, I tried to call her. She didn't answer her phone.
Mm-hmm.
I sent her a text. She didn't return a text. And then at this point, I was like, you know what? Something's not right. Because whenever I would call or text her, she would always respond or something. 2 hours went by. Didn't hear anything from her. So she comes back 2 hours later. By this time, it's 4 o'clock. And she says, you know what? I don't think this is going to work.
Why? Why? Because you wouldn't drive?
And I said, okay, well, and I was calm about it, and I stayed professional the entire time. I said, okay, well, you know, what made you come to this conclusion? And she said, well, you know, when we interviewed, you know, we expect a lot from our... What was that?
I think that was Christian trying to talk his things fucked up. Go ahead.
Oh. No, I hear you.
Oh, there he is. There he is.
Okay, because I was like, I heard something. So she said, well, you know, when we hired someone, you know, who's a director of operations, you know, we expect a lot from them. And we just feel like you're just not really, you know, pulling your weight. And then she was like, you know, plus you've never done this before, which is, a new field for you and blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, bitch. I said, did I not tell you this in the fucking interview? I was like, I sent you my resume. You looked over it, gave someone the okay for me to come in for an interview. I told you in your fucking face, you fucking cunt, that Ooh. I never did this before. You were still okay with it because you hired me.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, let's be honest. I said, you're not firing me because you don't think I'm doing a good job. Because if that was the case, you would have fired me a few days after I got hired. I said, pretty much you're firing me because you were pretty much going to take advantage of me. And I said, I caught on to it. I questioned you about it, and then you got upset. I'm like, that's exactly why you're letting me go. Well, no, that's not the case. Yes, it is, because I said if I would have had my happy ass in my Toyota Camry and drove 136 miles around this damn Metroplex, I'm like, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
Well, you could, if they actually fired you in that manner and actually did not say it was a requirement of your job to be able to drive that distance and pay for it yourself, and they're not going to reimburse you, then you could actually... You could sue them or whatever you want to do, or take them to court or go workforce commission or something if you wanted to.
Yeah, I'm debating on doing that. So,
well, I'm sorry that happened.
But yeah, but I was just like, okay. And I was just like, all right, well, that's fine. Honestly, I really wasn't feeling the job anyway. Once I got in the door, it was one of those things like it was all glamorous. Like, oh, you get this type of, you know, you get these type of benefits. You do this and this and this and this and this. Once I got in the door, like literally the first week, I was like,
no.
I am so ready to get the hell out of here already after a week. So,
well, I'm sorry. Yeah,
that was that. And you better have my fucking paycheck on Friday, you cunt.
Oh my God.
Bitch better have my money.
Exactly. Bitch better have my money.
Well, that sucks. You know, that's one thing I hated when I was, I was in my 20s. I had to work for other people and everything until I was 25 when I started my business. And it was sucked. I never liked it. I was never good at it. I was a horrible employee because I was always, I know better than you and you're stupid. And so I just was always like a horrible employee. I'm not saying you are, but my point is like people, I always had to deal with like political crap at work and deal with people's attitudes. And I just didn't like being around people. I didn't like people, basically. I was like, go away. So to be in that kind of position where someone kind of fucks you over or whatever, and it's kind of unjust like that, that sucks. And I would have done something about it. So I hope you do something about it.
And now here's the fucked up part about the entire situation.
Yes.
When she interviewed me,
yeah.
You know, she was an African-American woman. She owns these, you know, she is a franchise restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not going to say the name.
Mama's Waffles?
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Go on.
So, you know, she's like, you know, well, you know, I'm a black business owner and, you know, you don't see a lot of black. And she's like, and, you know, you don't see a lot of black owned businesses, which she's right. She had a point there. But then she was like, you know, I'm all about, you know, hiring minorities and African Americans because, you know, jobs are just really hard to come by for minorities and that type of thing. Which, to, you know, she had a point to somewhere. And I'm thinking to myself, I was like,
she shouldn't be telling you that.
Okay, exactly. But I was just like, I was going along with it. I was trying to get a job. I didn't give a fuck. So I was just like, okay, you know, I'm just nodding and smiling. I'm like, yeah, you're right.
The last job that I had before I started my business, when I was 25 years old, I was fired from it. It was a black woman. Her name was Paula McClure. She's dead now, so it's okay. But anyway, her name was Paula McClure. She was an actress. She was really, really good friends with Sharon Stone. She was on Total Recall. Anyway, she had a spa here in Dallas that I ran for her. Anyway, she was a complete bitch to work for. But she, when she hired me, she asked what race I was. And I got that question a lot, but never from an employer. And so when she fired me, I was like, I told the Workforce Commission about it, and that she'd actually asked me what my race is, what race mix I was or whatever. And so I won the case because of that. So my point is, that's one of the reasons I won the case. But the point is that you should definitely tell, if you file a complaint with the Workforce Commission, tell them about that and that she mentioned that. They may take that into consideration. Although you are black and she's black, it's going to be kind of odd to say, I'm hiring black people because there aren't black jobs or people taking black jobs, whatever. How does that really discriminate against you? I mean, it is discriminating against other people, though, so that's how they might see it.
Yeah, but then the thing was, I believe the corporate trainer who happens to be white was behind this whole thing because as I was leaving, I was in the restaurant, and as I was leaving, I said, well, okay, let me go grab my things. So I had my backpack and my laptop and everything. So I said, well, let me grab my things and I'll be out the door. Because when she let me go, I was like, I was almost kind of relieved almost.
Yeah.
So, and as I'm walking, I thought the corporate trainer was towards the back of the store. I'm assuming he thought I was already gone, but I was about to walk out the door. So taking him to the store. He was like, he was yelling to, we'll just call her Debbie. I don't even want to say her real name. He was like, you fired that guy yet? Loud, like loud.
So
then I said, "No, I'm still here, but I'm about to leave." I was being a total smartass.
They just didn't like you for whatever reason.
So yeah, good luck to them. But you know what? I'm glad that they were showing me all of this now instead of waiting until I worked there for several months or years, whatever the case may be, and then all this comes out.
So what are you gonna do now?
I'm applying for jobs again.
Okay.
And, I have savings and, that type of thing. So, I'll do that. But, I am actively looking for a job.
And what kind of job are you looking for? We got to put it out there in the world for you.
When I was at Hotels.com, I did administrative.
So you were like an administrative assistant or something? Or you were like administrative? Okay.
Yeah, administrative assistant, accounting, administrative work, that type of thing.
Somebody in my neighborhood just on Nextdoor, I don't know if you know what Nextdoor is, but it's this app for neighborhoods, just literally today posted they were looking for an executive assistant. I swear to God.
Well, if you have
to send you their name. I'm telling you.
Listening and you need someone.
So everybody, listen up. Jason needs a job. He's a kick-ass assistant, at least, and he doesn't do well in black-owned restaurants. But other than that,
I do not. Like I said, I'm just glad that she would show me her true colors up front because this could have been a catastrophe.
I don't know. I always thought it was me, and maybe it's you. Maybe we're similar this way, or maybe all three of us. I don't know, but I have always been one to not stand for shit, and I hate injustice. I hate whether it's happening to myself or to someone around me. I hate when people try to take advantage of people or use people. I just hate that shit. And so in corporate America, especially, that happens every day. And that's why I never did well in corporate America, because I don't like to play games, and it's all a bunch of fucking games exactly. And fake people.
And then you have the nerve to sit there and tell me that. You had to spend $8,000 for these people to come out and install these cash registers and do wiring and yada yada.
But they
yada.
Can't spend, give you $100 or give you $100 for gas a month or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. I'm like, you couldn't give me $50 for gas? Fuck out of here. So I'm just like,
well, you know,
take that.
I'm sorry that happened to you, but you shall survive. This too shall pass, my friend.
Exactly. Yeah. When one door closes, another one opens.
A window opes, or a skylight or some shit. Something
but I
happens.
I will say this, I have been enjoying sleeping.
Well, I'm sure. I'm sure. What
about if it's like the ultimate night owl and I get up at 5 a.m. every day?
I'm going to bed at 5 or 6 a.m. usually. unless I have a meeting. But anyway, yeah, that's. I'm sorry that happened, but you'll be cool. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Christian, what about you? Have you ever been fired from a job?
You know, I haven't. I've.
Well, aren't you special?
This is the first time I've ever been fired from a job ever.
To let this charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent get me through. no, I haven't. And to be honest, I don't know what I would. I don't know. I always make sure that my tracks are covered with everything, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I'm not afraid of confrontation and communication, so I like to dissolve any issues before it heads on up to Miss HR's office. I ain't got time for that.
That's
so,
right. Well, know. Good. That's good. Well,
mine was the first time, so...
I don't think... And by the way, I don't think that being fired is a reflection upon your character or who you are at all. No, I mean, I'm talking about myself as well as Jason or anybody else has been fired, because I think it has to do with the situation. It's a situational thing typically, and yeah. who you're dealing with, and sometimes personalities clash, or sometimes it's just the wrong environment, the wrong job.
Right, and a lot of times, and it could be politics too. You don't absolutely. Know what's going on.
And a lot of times, someone who's in that position who's been fired will thrive in another one. You just never know. So it's just the wrong place for you. That means something better is coming along. So just keep
that's true.
Keep
that's
hard.
True. I'm so glad that it happened. So.
And then on top of that, Tamar Braxton blocked you on Instagram.
Who? Are you kidding me?
Yes.
He was being a hater.
Ooh.
I wasn't being a hater. I was telling the truth.
Go ahead.
I
tell
was telling the
story. The
truth. So
we got 9 minutes. Tell the story.
I recently started an Instagram account, and Tamar Braxton was, I don't know if she's the first, but she was one of the few people that I was, you know, building a list with, you know, as far as Instagram friends or whatever. Mm-hmm. So she posted this picture.
Of what?
It looked very drag queenish.
Oh, uh-huh.
It was her with like heavy, heavy, heavy makeup on. And mm-hmm. Come on, we know how Tamar Braxton does. Mm-hmm. Let's be real. So I left a comment. I said, it looks very drag queen-ish.
Oh, shit.
So then, you know the type of Tay Marcias, they tried to come for me.
So the Tay Marcias?
Like, they're like, look at you, you know, look at you, and, you know, oh. blah, 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 and, you know, you're so black, and, you know, whatever, I don't know.
You're so black.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm not even that dark, but okay.
You're so like, black. Like, that's just hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, sidebar, before I go any further, I hate it when a person says, no matter what race you are, mm-hmm. and you sit there and tell me, like, oh, you're so black or you're black. I'm like, I've been knowing that for the past 2 years.
It's like
you saying that is not going to offend me. I'm already aware of this.
Yeah.
So,
it's like somebody who's overweight, and when you're fat or you're overweight or whatever, and like, you need to lose some weight. Really?
Exactly.
Thank you.
Tell me something that's going to piss me off. Like, tell me that Krispy Kreme is about to close. Like, I would be ready to burn that bitch down.
It's like so seriously. Stupid. You're right. You're right. You're
like,
right.
But don't sit there and be like, oh, you're so black. I'm like,
duh.
Okay, like, okay, whatever. Like, duh.
Okay.
So she blocked you.
Yeah, so I guess she got up. I guess, you know, I'm sure one of her, you know, slave Tamar reported back to her.
But that means the thing is, if she actually did the blocking herself and wasn't an assistant or something, if she actually did the blocking herself, that means she doesn't have a sense of humor about herself, which is not a good sign of a character person.
But,
I'm sorry.
But, I mean, come on. Look at Tamar Braxton's following though with celebrities. I'm like, she really doesn't get along with anyone.
Well, there
I
you
mean,
go.
Truth be told.
She doesn't have a sense of humor about herself.
Like, she's one of those people that can dish it out but can't take it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly we've seen it on the reel. We've seen it in social media. I mean, that type of thing. You get the crown on national television.
She's real sensitive and petty.
Okay. She takes things too seriously. That's
and honestly, when I said it looked very drag queenish, I was being funny. I wasn't doing it to be mean, but it did look drag queenish.
Did you think do you think it would actually get around to her? You just thought.
Well, I don't know if it got around. I don't know her.
If you knew that she was going to read that, would you have written it?
Yes.
I'm the same way. See, I'm the same way. I just keep it real.
Because it was the truth. So I'm sure one of her slave Tay Martian friends went back and reported to her assistant, whatever. And then I get back on later that evening. It was like, Tamar Braxton Herbert has blocked you. I'm just like, okay, well.
I didn't even know a game blocked notification.
But that's.
Yeah, because when I tried to go back to her thing, like when I tried to tap on her name to get to her profile, mm-hmm. it said that I had been blocked. So,
Well, yeah. this reminds me, over the weekend, one of my friends of mine I've known since she and I were 9 years old.
A long time ago.
The Pointer Sisters were out, okay? we had kind of stopped talking for a while, and then we started talking again. Anyway, so, and I've been trying to see her again after a long time, and she kept, like, saying, I can, I'm busy, whatever. And so finally, I got fucking sick of it, because, you know, you can only take that so many times, right? And so finally I said, I didn't say anything to her, but all of a sudden I noticed that she'd taken me. Oh, over this past weekend, we went to visit a grave where in her town is my grandmother, and she said that she wasn't going to be home. So the gravesite is literally like 2 blocks from her house. And so we drove by her house and she was home. And so I just went by, that was it. Anyway, and I drove by, I texted her, I said, well, apparently you were home and you weren't really out. Surprise, surprise. And that's all I said. And she shut me off Facebook and blocked me. And so I wrote her back very petty. And I'm telling you, I'm not normally like this, but I think I was so hurt by that,
yeah,
that I was really angry, and so I said some really mean things that I cannot repeat on the air because I would be embarrassed. And but she, let's just say, she is from a different social class than I am, and she lives with her kids from different fathers, and she would be a great guest on Jerry Springer show. And, you know, so
train apart.
No, but she might, well, her house is being foreclosed on, but anyway. So my point is, I went on and on and on, and I just let her have it. And it's basically like 30 years of her being a bitch to me.
Yeah.
Came out right that moment. So my point, as we're going to make, is I know what you said to Tamar Braxton and she blocked you, but it didn't merit that. I mean, she did not need to block you because of that. She has no sense of humor about herself. Now me, from the other hand, I had every right to block the bitch, and I did, and it's done. So we're done.
Well, then after she blocked me, I actually got actually a friend of mine who also follows her was posted the picture on Facebook, so then I shared it. And I was just like, what do you think of this thing? But I was like, yeah, that is a lot of makeup. So people agree on Facebook. It's like, come on now, like, Tamar, stop. Like, stop being so petty and childish.
Well, what I was going to say about that, Jason, is that when you say something, and I'm the same way, I say whatever I think, but I know when I say something, I'm willing to deal with the consequences of my actions. Right. So when you say that to her, you've got to be willing to think, well, she might block me or not want to talk to me or whatever. And well, so what?
You have to remember that you're one in a million, you know what I mean? Anything that's slightly negative or that she takes in a negative way, the next comment you may write may be like, oh, you need to tuck your dick, you know what I mean? You know, she doesn't know. She's just trying to avoid anything, you know what I mean? You kind of have to think about it that way. And at least she knows, at least she knew you existed for 0.5 seconds, okay? Because I fucking love
that's her. Right. But don't
her
you?
New album comes out September 11th, Calling on Lovers, on iTunes.
But don't you think I would rather know if I had too much makeup on than not? And how many people?
She knows.
But that's the thing is,
she does it all the time.
But how many people on her Twitter page or whatever? You weren't the only one who said something about her makeup, I'm sure.
No, I'm not the only. I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. I don't know. Maybe at that particular time, her and her sister was actually reading the comments at that moment.
Maybe she just was having a bad day. She's like, you know,
could
bitch.
Be, but
all of her days are bad days.
Exactly. Once again, she has beef with everyone in the industry. So.
I love her to death, but that she's petty, Betty. Before we go off the air, mm-hmm. Did you guys see that the cast of Dancing with the Stars was released today?
Mm-mm. No. Who's on?
Did you see who was on there?
Mm-mm.
Tamar Braxton,
Kim Zolciak,
Paula Deen.
Oh no.
Nick Carter from the Backstreet
Boys.
Yes,
he's cute.
I might actually watch this year.
He's cute. Yeah. Is that it? That's not it.
No, I mean there's a bunch, but those are like the big ones.
Those are the ones you care about.
Yeah, those are the ones I care about.
No, Paula Deen's trying to re-up her persona, I guess, after the whole N-word thing. But I don't really care to see her. I know you. Didn't you say you like Paula Deen a lot, though? You said you liked her.
For me?
I like
Christian.
I like her personality. I don't care for some of the dumbass things she said in the past, but you know, I'm down for a bacon and a butter biscuit, you know, and a Paula Deen crock pot.
Who
I'm
ain't?
Down for it. A skillet or whatever it is. And I like big personalities, so she's entertaining to me.
Well, it's not like I would not see her or watch her because of it, but I'm just saying I just don't like that whole era in her life.
I remember when the whole scandal was going down, and I remember when she was losing all of her endorsements, and they had her Paula Deen cookware at Walmart. It was like originally like $90.
It's like $4.
I went out and bought it, but I was so embarrassed to buy it during that time. I love Paula Deen. I actually went out and bought it during that whole scandal, but no one said anything. I thought clearly someone was going to say something.
No, I could see you at Walmart buying this Paula Deen stuff, and the black checkout girls get curling her lip and looking at you funny.
I was like, fuck that, it's $40. I got a 12-piece cookware set for $40.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You can go ahead and scratch that Paula Deen signature out real quick.
Exactly.
Oh, by the way, before we go, I was without AC for almost a week. Since Wednesday. And the reason is because Thursday. Thursday morning it went out. I called an AC company. They came out. They said it'll be $2,500. I said, okay. The next day they did not show up. Friday they did not show up. I said, where are you? They said, we misunderstood you. Okay, we'll come out. We'll fix it. They came to the door. The guy says, I said, I had a second guy look at it while they were coming. Didn't show up. And so the second guy said it didn't need a fan motor. I told the guy when he came back, he doesn't need a fan motor. He left. He never came back. Again, I called them, yelled at the guy, the owner. It was horrible. Gave him a horrible Yelp review. Then Saturday, the other guy came out and said, I can't do it today because they're closed, so I'll come back on Monday. Monday, he says it's not in yet. And so Tuesday, finally today, the compressor came in, he fixed it, and now I have air. That's why it took so fucking long. And I'll tell you this, too. It was going to cost $2,500 to fix it. This guy who fixed it for $550.
Boom.
So I am telling you, it is a fucking racket. Those people are just sort of fucking gouge people. They didn't have to charge me that much. The same fucking thing. So I have air again. I'm happy. And now we can end the show. So I want to say thanks for listening, everybody. Jason Dotley, if you actually listen to the show, I appreciate it. Thank you. And also, I wanted to say we'll be back. If you want to find out more about us, you can go to gayxyz.com. You can go to Christian's site at
ChristianAlexanderFashion.com. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat at Christian Graven.
And Jason's Twitter is?
It's Jason underscore BBE underscore life. And for some reason, I've been having a lot of porn stars want to follow me on Twitter. I don't know what that's
about. I'll tell you why that is after we get off the air. And then my Off Limits show, you can find me at offlimitsshow.com. Listen to my show. My show is on every Sunday if you want to listen to it. And we'll be back next week with more hot topics and more. Thanks for listening. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Hello.